This Chazar Zeichen Nishbach Chesel Shrag Rabbi Yehudim Sechtes Gittin Daf Nun Aleph. Fidek the Gemara Ula had said that an unwritten loan or obligation may not be collected from the debtor's encumbered properties. Rav Huna Bar Manoach asks, a Mishnah says that if a man promised to support his wife's daughter, meaning his stepdaughter, and he then died, the stepdaughter may collect her support from encumbered properties because she is like a creditor, whereas the man's own daughters from that same wife, who he had as an obligation to support, may only collect from unencumbered properties. Now this proves that one can collect a debt from encumbered properties without it being written, since the obligation to the stepdaughter was presumably not written. Or said the case of the Mishnah is that an actual kinyan was done to formalize the obligation to the stepdaughter, and that's why she may collect from encumbered properties. In fact, that means that the Mishnah is discussing where there was a kinyan made to his own daughters for their obligation as well. So why do they have to collect only from unencumbered properties? Or said the case is where a kinyan was only made for the stepdaughter, but not for his real daughters. In fact, then why would we say that the Mishnah is being inconsistent like that? Over here, it's talking about yes, it was the kinyan was made there, not. The Mishnah is consistent; talks about one case the entire time. Mara said, "You're right. He made a kinyan for both. However, at the time of his marriage to the mother, only the stepdaughter was around, and therefore the kinyan only helps for her." In fact, why can't we say that the case is where the daughters are around at the time of the marriage as well? The case would be where he was married to this woman who had a daughter from a previous marriage, and then he had a daughter with this woman, and then he divorced her, and then he remarried her. At that time of the remarriage, the daughter and the stepdaughter are both around. Mar says, although a kinyan was made for each of them, and they were both around in a chanami, but since his own daughter must be supported by condition of bezin, the kinyan doesn't help to further the obligation, and it's therefore ineffective. The stepdaughter's obligation is a new obligation, and the kinyan is therefore effective in furthering it and allowing her to collect from encumbered properties. In fact, just because the daughter's obligation is stronger, why would that prevent the kinyan from being effective? And for the Gemara, since his obligation to his daughters is set by Bezin, we're concerned that he left a bundle of money somewhere for her to use for her support. Therefore, we don't allow her to collect from encumbered properties. We don't have this concern with the stepdaughter, and that's why she may collect from encumbered properties. In fact, the Gemara Braisa says that when a purchaser is forced to return the purchased land because his seller had stolen it from the true owner, he may collect the purchase price from the seller's encumbered properties, but the amount that he spent to improve the land may only be collected from unencumbered properties. Rav Nosson said, this is only true if the improvements were done after the other properties were sold and became encumbered. However, if the improvements were done first, he can collect this amount from the encumbered properties of the seller as well. We see that unwritten obligations may be collected from encumbered properties. We see that right here. And for the Gemara, this is actually Machlekes among Tanaim. We find a Brice where the Tanakhama says that an unwritten obligation cannot be collected from encumbered properties, and Rabbi Yossi says that any obligation that is not for a set amount cannot be collected from encumbered property. We'll say that Ula holds like the Tanakhama, and Rav Hanina holds like Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah ended off, Amoitza Metzia Loi Yishova. Rabbi Yitzchak said, if someone tells his friend, you found two wallets of mine that were tied together, and the friend says, I only found one wallet, he has to swear that he only found one. If someone tells his friend, you found two oxen of mine that were tied together, and the friend says, I only found one, he doesn't have to swear that he only found one. The difference between the cases is that oxen have a tendency to separate themselves, whereas wallets do not. If someone tells his friend, you found two oxen of mine that were tied together, and the other one says, I found both, but I already returned one to you, he has to swear that he already returned one. In fact, does Rabbi Yitzchak not hold of our mission that says, for the tikkun olam, for the benefit of the world, someone who finds something doesn't have to swear regarding the found item? Marse, he holds a Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who argues on our mission in the Braisa. In the Braisa, he says, there are times when a person will have to swear on his own claim. For example, if a person tells an orphan, I owed your father a mana, but already paid him half, he has to swear to that claim. The Chum argue in the Braisa and say, this person is returning a lost object, and he is therefore potter from swearing. Furthermore, does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov not hold of the concept of the returner of a lost item being potter? Rav said the Braisa is talking about where a minor made a claim against the debtor, and that's why he had to swear. Furthermore, our Mishnah says that the claim of a katan has no bearing to make someone have to swear. Rav says in the Braisa is an adult who is making the claim against the debtor. The reason Rav referred to him as a minor is because even an adult orphan is referred to a minor in his father's affairs because he's totally unfamiliar with them. If this is the case, why does the Braisa refer to it as swearing on his own claim? It's the claim of the orphan that's making him swear. The Mara says the Braisa means that it's the claim of the orphan, but it's his own admission. In fact, every case of swearing on an admission is based on a self-admission. And for the Gemara, the Machlokes and the Braisa is based on the concept of Rabba as to why a partial admission, normally, a Moed B'Mikdash has to swear. He says it's because a person's embarrassed to lie and deny a claim completely. So he partially admits that he does owe some money in order to allow himself to find some more time to pay. The Rabbanan say that a person would have no problem denying the claim to the son, because since it was his father, not him, who lent the money. Therefore, a partial admission is like the return of a lost item. Lezim Yaakov says that a person would still not have the chutzpah to fully deny the claim of even to the face of the son either. That's why the Moed B'Mikdash, the partial admission, is like the partial admission to the father himself, which requires that the person swear regarding the remainder.